Right, 806 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, glad to have you along. And text line, phone line, 343-0106. Right now, we're going to check in with Quinn Hillier from, oddly enough, QuinnHillier.com, also the author of the Mad Jones trilogy, available on Amazon.com. Lucky for you, you got to be the moderator there at QuinnHillier.com. It just worked out perfectly.
It worked out unbelievably perfectly. I didn't have to change my name or anything.
It's a lucky thing. And if people have yet to pick up the trilogy, tell them about Mad Jones and what's in there.
Well, it's it's originally written as one novel. It's satire on modern media, politics, and religion all at the same time. And it's about a modern-day young Martin Luther in Mobile, Alabama. He literally goes and nails religious theses to church doors on a rant one night, and with modern internet, he gets a national overnight following, like all these Insta celebs do, and it's about what happens to him afterward.
All right, y'all check it out over at Amazon.com.
And Sean, yes. Before we get into the hard news here, I did want to give Quinn the opportunity to gloat about his guy down there in New Orleans. Quinn, I don't know if you saw this, but Drew Brees and his wife Brittany donating another $5 million to fight COVID-19. They said it's going to go towards building healthcare centers in Louisiana, but that's $10 million from the Brees Foundation over the last few months. What a great guy and a great move.
Oh, no. This is the Drew Brees who's really racist and
right.
Dares to want to to say that he wants to respect the national anthem. There can't be anything good about him.
Right.
No, this is a really good man. He and his wife are just renowned for their charity in New Orleans, for the efforts they make in so many different ways on behalf of the community. And this is just one more example. This is now $10 million they have pledged in response to coronavirus. This is the second tranche of $5 million. So he's a wonderful, wonderful human being.
You know, maybe we'll use that as a pivot or a transition here into kind of an overall story, not even a specific news story, but one that probably is involved in so many of the national stories. This idea about our republic and the United States. And if ever before there have been detractors over time, but if ever before there was a concerted movement out there of people that don't want to make our republic better, they think it's irredeemable, right? That it should be upended. You've got whether it be the rioters or the socialists out there, or even elected members of Congress out there that I don't believe are trying to make a better union. They're trying to destroy this union, Quinn.
I completely agree. And look, the idea that America was founded in evil and that it's irredeemably racist and that slavery was at the basis of everything in our history is absolute pure poppycock, and I don't care if the schools, the really bad schools, often public schools, have been teaching this stuff. There is a responsibility of people when they grow up to actually learn for themselves, and it's so patently obvious that this is a wonderful nation that anybody who doesn't think otherwise is guilty of A, willful blindness, and B, is guilty of tremendous ingratitude, because we should be grateful for all the things this nation has offered us. Up until the virus hit, we were living in the single most prosperous and freest society in the history of mankind. And for everybody to run it, well, not everybody, but for rioters and others to run around saying that no, we are evil, and that this society cannot be saved, and so it must be upended and transformed. They're just malicious and malignant, and they must be stopped.
You know, I wonder if it is the ignorance. I can say it simply and just say those people ought to get out and travel and go to other countries and see what it's like. But, you know, I have this idea that pops in my head, and I don't know, with any regularity, a few times, a dozen times a year or more. First thing, when I open up my eyes, I realize where I live and what rights are afforded to me and what lifestyle is afforded in the United States. And I think about, you know, you could be opening your eyes right now in Kazakhstan or sub-Saharan Africa or Indonesia or in Russia. You could be opening your eyes in a place where either the standard of living is so reduced or your rights are non-existent. And I let that soak in. I think that, and maybe that happens to a lot of us, where you just have that kind of shower moment where you think about how awesome the place we live is.
You're absolutely right, Sean. And what bothers me the most is these sons and daughters of privilege who are out there saying that this mm-hmm. is an irredeemably evil and racist society. The ingratitude, the lack of perspective is astonishing, because they've had every advantage to overcome anything they've been taught otherwise by a bad school system. They've had every advantage to see otherwise and learn otherwise. It's all available. History is at our fingertips on the internet. And it is clear that until we came along, freedom as we understand it was a very rare thing on the earth. And Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and company expanded freedom and opportunity, not just for America, but in a way that they deliberately thought and said would reverberate across the world. And you don't measure somebody by the standards of today. You need to measure somebody by how much they advanced human freedom and opportunity compared to what existed when they lived. And the great jump, no, bound forward, the rocket shot forward occurred in 1786 and 1776 and 1787, and in that the founding generation that said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that said we have unalienable rights, and then went out and created a workable government that guarded those rights. That had never been done before, and to say that there was that it was based in evil is just, as I say, malignant.
Quinn, when I think of the privilege that you're speaking of, there's quite a few people that come to mind. One, the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, somebody who grew up in a well-to-do family and went off and basically became radicalized and is a far-left socialist. And you look at some of these movements, which I think it's obvious they've evolved from what was the initial goal of righting some of the racial injustices in this country. And you look at Portland and some of these West Coast cities where on the video, it seems like it's a lot of younger white people that are just destroying property and trying to force us, I guess, into anarchy. I try to put myself in, you know, as many shoes as I have to see their point of view. What do you think the end goal is for these Portland protesters? What
their end goal is revolution. They want to completely upend the country and create absolute anarchy and chaos, thinking that what comes after, that the only thing that can come after is this utopian state, if they even think that far ahead. Basically, they are destroyers and not builders, and they are enjoying their destructiveness right now. And I don't know if you saw, but there are pictures on the internet of all the incredible weaponry, the Molotov cocktails, the machetes, the other homemade bombs, the guns that the feds have confiscated from these people who the mainstream media keeps calling, oh, they're mostly peaceful protesters and a few rowdies. No, this is an organized, complicated, deliberate, violent uprising, and it's just despicable.
Quinn, you know, I want to go back, circle back here and talk about the foundation of the Republic. And as I think we should continue, like Dalton said, you know, the movement that starts about making sure that policing is done with equality around the country. That's the original push. But of course, like you said, that's been corrupted. That has been rusted out here by this movement. But when you look at the, if they say it's all, you know, it's all based on something horrible here, our republic, and we can point out just, you know, pragmatically how great it is, like I did, compared to other places on the planet. But also, those founders that weren't perfect, they set a system up, and the arguments that were made, the arguments that were made on all fronts to give people equal rights, were done using the words that the founders put in. Did the founders live up to it right away? No, they didn't. But they put the words in the Declaration that opened the discussion, that said so people could demand equal rights, because look, it's there in the words that set up our republic. The pathway was there. Was there a failing of the founders early? Sure, you can talk about living in the times that they lived in, but they put the words in there that were absolutely the prosecution for getting rights for everybody in this country and to strive for equality in this country. They set up the framework that was used to make those changes.
You're absolutely right, Sean, especially that last sentence. It wasn't just the words, although the words were powerful. It was the words and the framework. And Martin Luther King Jr. and the late John Lewis both understood that. King called it a promissory note. People yep. like Frederick Douglass said yep. that the Declaration and Constitution were wonderful documents. He didn't think so in the 1840s, but he very soon thereafter changed his mind. And the founders actually, you know, tried in their way to get rid of slavery. Jefferson wrote huge sections of anti-slavery language into the Declaration. They were stricken out on the floor of the Continental Congress, but he wanted to prosecute it right then. The Constitution, they deliberately put in the thing that would end the slave trade by 1808, thinking that once the trade was over, it would go away, and also thinking that in those intervening 20 years from 88 to 08, that they would be able to develop other alternative means, not just of getting the work done on their plantations, but of finding ways to make it possible for uneducated black people to realize their potential, to set up systems. And yeah, they failed to set up the systems, but when they founded it, that's what they were trying to do. And there's all sorts of evidence, even after they got out of office, Jefferson and Madison trying to find ways to make the end of slavery possible. And look, was there some hypocrisy in them continuing to hold slaves?
Yes.
But when you grow up in a system and you don't know how something else works, you got to look at where you're starting and where you're moving toward and how much you move towards it. And they tried mightily to move toward a better system, and they set up a system that they thought would end up working. And you know what? It did.
It did, and that's what I want to point out. I mean, when Dr. King said, quote, "In sense, we have come to our nation's capital to cash a check," right? He said, when the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. And that is the point. That is what I think is lost on so many. It is those men that were flawed, and I'm, you know, I'm not one to say they weren't. They're human beings. They were flawed. But the genius of what they wrote is what, now, it's a shame it took so long, but that Dr. King came and made a point and said, this is what was guaranteed to all of us Americans, and we're here to cash this check. And I just think that is lost on people today that are saying, you know, that, that they want to not make sure we have a better union, but they want to completely burn it down. And it is so frustrating. I'd like to take these people on a tour of this planet and show them some other systems in action and see what they think then.
Exactly. There's a great column over the weekend. It was either Saturday or Monday in the Wall Street Journal by Ward Connerly. You know, he's 82 years old, a leading, he's a black man, and he's a leading thinker and scholar. And he said, no, America is not racist. He said there are racists in America.
Sure.
And what is in the human heart sometimes infects how people act out the system, but the system itself is not racist, and the vast majority of people are not racist. And he laid out the case, and it's just like you're saying. He said this, the opportunity he knew, even growing up in the segregated South, he was born in Louisiana, the opportunities he knew outstripped those of, you know, what, 95% of the people on the globe. It's really worth reading. Yes, we must continue to fight racism, both public and private. We have to help change people's hearts, but this is a system that for the formal official system right now is built to fight racism. It's upending the system will give rise to all the destructive passions that let some of the worst instincts in human beings come out, not the best.
And we're coming right back. More with Quentin Hillier, QuentinHillier.com. Also check out the Mad Jones trilogy, available now on Amazon. We'll return in just minutes. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday and continue our conversation with Quentin Hillier from QuentinHillier.com. Hey, Quinn, you know, after the discussion we had just a second ago about the rioting and what's going on in places like Portland, how does that play in on the presidential cycle? What kind of the law and order, does that give a bump to President Trump?
Well, it could. It hasn't yet because Trump has frankly handled so many things in such a tone-deaf way that his poll numbers have tanked. But this could easily go far enough that it causes a backlash when people really start to get afraid of being able to walk their streets, when they really fear anarchy and disorder. Then if there's only one person seen as standing for law and order, that they tend to rush to the safety of that person. And so if these crazies keep their malicious, malignant, violent rioting, you could see a very sudden swing almost overnight at any point before the election from Biden back toward Trump. And you know who knows this is Lanny Davis, who is the lawyer for the Clintons, who was one of the more liberal people on the Clinton team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been saying the last couple of days, this is a gift to Donald Trump. Guys, if you want to win the election, call on these rioters to stop it. He was talking to his fellow liberals. He said, this is bad for liberals. This is bad for America. And you need to stop it because this is playing right into Donald Trump's hands. Well, you know what? It is playing into Donald Trump's hands for good or bad. And the left will not know, will not understand the tempest that comes down on their heads if they keep doing this.
Because we talk about like kitchen table politics, and often that's in economic issues and discussing dollars and cents. But I imagine that this is a very close second, if not before that, when it comes to law and order. Just regular Americans, those people that are maybe independent voters or people that don't usually get motivated to go to the polls, they look at this going on out there and worry about the security of themselves and their family. So
the polls right now show that while people were very sympathetic to the original protests, that they are, I think I saw a number, 57% strongly opposed the riots. That number will only grow, and it will come crashing down on the heads of every liberal and every Democrat who fails to denounce and try to stop the riots.
There we go. Quinn, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll check back with you next week.
Thank you.
All right, Quinn Hilliard joining us right here. We're coming right back. Grab your phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. News update coming your way next right here on Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. And right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios. I want to talk to you about, well, where we stand in the month of July. It is the last week of the month. Last chances to get down to McConnell Automotive and get you a great deal. Tell us what's going on the lot.
That's right. We got employee pricing going on, you know, through the end of the month. And, you know, it's a deal when I buy my wife a new car. So McDonough's going to get a new car today, and she knows she's all happy. She's getting one of those Terrains. Like I said, you got employee pricing and $3,500. That is a deal. Like I said, if I'm buying one, it's a deal.
Yeah.
Y'all come check out the used cars. I mean, we've got some great used cars. We've got Yukons. We've got Tahoes. Trying to buy a few trucks right now. You can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Just come on down and see us at beautiful Midtown on Dolphin Street, and we'll give you a great deal on a pre-owned or new.
Yeah, and you guys not only selling cars like you do so well, but also buying cars. How can someone sell their car to you instead?
That's right. Just call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. Give us a VIN and a miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 838 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. It's interesting to see what will happen here with the kind of the law and order reaction. I know that we're talking about that earlier with Quinn. Red on the text line said law and order, Reagan picked up and ran on it in a landslide. It has been successful for many presidential candidates over time. And I think you might take somebody who's on the fence, you know, or not super engaged in politics and maybe foreign policy or something, but they look at what's going on in some cities around the country, and you know, they're going to have a reaction here. If you've got Joe Biden talking about defunding police, they may not even have been somebody who was going to vote for President Trump before, who will say, you know, I don't see defunding police as the right way to go at this point and letting this go on in these cities. So yeah. I think you're going to see some of that reaction.
Yeah, and you know, with about let's call it 3 full months before the election, right? So we have August, September, October, November 3rd, the election. So when you were talking with Todd Stacey yesterday in Midday Mobile, I noticed that he said in February, or maybe even before February, it seemed like Trump might be able to coast along to victory, kind of to paraphrase him. The numbers looked good in the president's favor. Since then, of course, and believe the numbers or not, they have slid for Trump. More people disapprove of how he's been handling things here recently. But with 3 months to go and these protests that continue to turn violent out on the West Coast and other cities, with that, along with the president and his team's new push to get back in front of the cameras for coronavirus. You know, they're holding those press briefings again, and it's usually just Trump now. And there was a story in Axios over the weekend where they are making a concerted push to talk about potential vaccines and the R&D that's going into cures and you know, certain supplements to help people either recover faster from coronavirus or at least lower those fatality numbers. I think, you know, really the thing here for Trump that I think would pretty much end the election in his favor, if there are great strides made in the fight against COVID-19 over the next 3 months, if we go into October or mid-October and the number of deaths nationally drop to around, you know, 200, 100 or fewer per day, and more states that are currently going through some of their peaks right now. I mean, Alabama has hit our peak in deaths. Of course, we're much more rural than some of the bigger cities that got hit earlier. But if those numbers start to drop and people start going back to work, however many times they've been, you know, furloughed or had to shut their businesses down, I think that would really help swing things back into Trump's favor. This has to be a low point, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, okay. So a couple things. So you look at the, it is a binary choice. Well, it's not. There's a libertarian candidate, which, by the way, she may be on the show early next month, but generally a binary choice out there. So you got to ask yourself a couple things on law and order. If you're a voter, who's your better choice, Biden or Trump? And it, listen, there's two sides that are galvanized here that would vote for President Trump no matter what, and those that would vote against him no matter what. So let's take those out of the mix. The people in between here, where will they go? A couple questions here. I mean, on the economy, all right, and I've said this, which, by the way, obviously they were listening at the White House, because we have a guest booked today on Midday Mobile to talk more about this, about the Biden and his economic plan. White House representative is going to join us here to talk about this in the 1 o'clock hour on the Midday show. But I've been talking about this over time. Do you think Biden, who's going to have remarks, I think, today in Wilmington, Delaware, his Build Back Better economic plan, do you think that's going to be the roll of the dice people want to take versus what was happening with the economy before coronavirus hit that was, you know, on President Trump's watch? So number one, there's that. Number two, there's the law and order issue. Will those two things, those are kitchen table political issues. They're not even really, you know, like they don't even go into idealism and conservatism and liberalism. It's just like, am I going to be safe, and is my paycheck going to be there, or is my paycheck going to get bigger? Those things motivate a lot of people who are kind of sitting on the sidelines, who don't live politics every day. They just live it come election day.
Yeah, and I think certainly those two issues are at the forefront. But don't forget, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, they're still doing those things they were doing before this pandemic hit. And it's kind of taken a back seat in the news. But here recently, I mean, Kim Jong-un, again, discussing nuclear weapons in Iran. They put a fake aircraft carrier out in the Strait of Hormuz and blew it up over the weekend. Who do you think is tougher on these nations when we're dealing in these international conflicts? If that comes back into the fold, I'd really be interested to see what Biden has to say about those things.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue there's a little bit of a global, you know, globally you have some kind of a justice or security argument there, but I don't think that's nearly as important to the voters that have yet to decide as paychecks and security, just home security. You know, and I know you can argue that these international players threaten our home security. We were shown that, you know, by the terrorists, but there is an argument to be made that it is a kitchen table politics of economy and security here at home. We'll talk more about this when we get back. 343-0106. That's our phone number, 343-0106. We'll be right back. Hey, thank you, Kane. 848. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Our number 343-0106. Our website, fmtalk1065.com. Take part in the online opinion poll question over there. It's on the right-hand column. You can also do the same on our Facebook page. But it's a question that, well, you know, you talk about Operation Warp Speed. The president talked about it, and it's pretty amazing, the pacing here on this vaccine development. But if the vaccine were available today, would you get a vaccination for COVID-19? 74% of y'all say no. You can vote online, front page of FMTalk1065.com, also on our Facebook page. Remember, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also seeing this, Attorney General Barr's hearing delayed after Committee Chairman Nadler has been involved in a car accident. Ooh. I don't know the details beyond that, but Nadler in that car accident. We'll keep our eyes on that story as well. And then one we haven't had a chance to talk about as much, although this is because Lord knows everything else going on, but this Ghislaine Maxwell, who was the Epstein fixer friend,
some call her a confidant.
There's a number of words for Ghislaine Maxwell.
A lot of words you could call her.
Well, and one of the questions is, you know, I mean, I just be frank about it, not trying to be flippant, but does she survive to be able to testify? Yesterday, lawyers for Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, they're calling Ghislaine Maxwell, I think there's a lot more there, says a judge should stop her accusers from using evidence in the criminal case to boost civil lawsuits by posting materials to the internet. Lawyers say attorneys for women who claim Ghislaine Maxwell abused them should be subject to the same secrecy rules as prosecutors and defense lawyers. A joint protective order submitted to a judge yesterday to keep the evidence secret prior to a July 2021 trial is routine in sex abuse cases. But the lawyers say prosecutors have refused to agree that witnesses in the trial and their lawyers should be subject to secrecy rules. Hmm. Prosecutors say they'll respond today. Maxwell has pled not guilty to the charges that she recruited and aided the abuse of three girls by Epstein in the 1990s. Heck, you watch the documentary.
Yeah.
Three might just be the tip of the iceberg. But not to be flippant, but does she... What are they doing to protect her? Because I got to tell you, I want her to testify.
Mm-hmm.
I want this information to get out. You know, what did she know? Who did what? What pictures? Who might be involved in this stuff? It's, you know, we can go back to the Epstein thing, which, you know, we're kind of just have brushed past it. Everybody says, oh, well... looks like somebody had him killed. A lot of people do. The state, of course, says no, it was a suicide. But you've got, you know, beyond conspiracy theory now saying, you know, come on, Epstein was killed. And it's like everybody's like, okay, well, that's just a thing. We're going to move on past that. What about Ghislaine Maxwell in this?
Well, you know, and there was a story that came out a couple weeks ago, I believe. You know, time all runs together now in 2020. But they were saying they were moving her from cell to cell. And I think the word they used then was assassins, to keep her from assassins. And, you know, that sounds like we're talking about a story from a long time ago, not from 2020 in the American prison system, but they are certainly worried about her well-being as far as keeping her alive through the trial.
So if they're worried about it, then how does the same agencies that are worried about that happening are telling us that that Epstein was a suicide? I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's some kind of
why are you worried about it now? Yeah, if you said that it would before, it was not, you know.
There's a sliding scale of conspiracies regarding the Epstein quote-unquote suicide. You know, are they covering it up just because they weren't doing their diligence and he actually committed suicide, or was there someone sent in there to murder him in that cell when that happened?
Well, that gigantic guy that was in there with him, yeah.
And the two cameras that just happened to be turned off. I mean, just a couple of unbelievable, literally unbelievable coincidences that happened leading up to his death. And yeah, I mean, I want the full weight of the law, and I think everyone would agree, the full weight of the law put onto Ghislaine Maxwell, especially if you've seen some of these documentaries. But with this story that you just brought up, and you know, initially when I heard the headline, I was like, What are they doing? Are they trying to keep covering this thing up? I mean, what's going on here? But if the point of this is that her accusers want to post this to the internet, if that hurts their attempts in their civil lawsuits or in this criminal investigation, I say don't post it to the internet. Let all this come out in trial. Now, whether or not it's a fair trial is another thing, but anything that would hurt the prosecutors from putting everything they have into punishing Ghislaine Maxwell and hopefully getting her to give up some names and say what all was actually going on during these days mm-hmm. that she spent with Epstein, I want that to happen. And if that means, and I'm just as engaged in the drama as everyone else, if that means we have to wait a little bit longer to get more of the scoops from this trial, I'm fine with that. As long as they are able to put everything they have into prosecuting her, that is exactly what I want. And, of course, keeping her alive, and hopefully she, you know, spills the beans here.
Yeah, and remember, we got a while here before that. We got a year before this would go to trial.
That is a long time to keep her alive.
Yes, so I've had those details. Yeah, and I've just seen one of the documentaries, and y'all, it doesn't mean because it's in a documentary it's true, but if a tenth of what they mm-hmm. talked about is true, I mean, oh my gosh. All right, and then this story came up on Westwood One earlier, and you've been looking at it. The seed packet story, what's going on with the seed packets?
All right, yeah, so this is really weird, and I guess this has been happening all over America. But the Alabama Department of Agriculture yesterday released a statement, and so have Washington's Agriculture Department, Louisiana, Kansas, Virginia. They've also had reports of this happening in Utah, Arizona, and Ohio. So they said that residents have been reporting receiving unsolicited packages of seeds in the mail that appear to be sent from China. So all these departments of agriculture are telling the public not to plant these seeds. They said some of the packages were labeled as jewelry and may have Chinese writing on them. This one woman from Texas, or from Utah, that they interviewed here with Fox 13 said she was excited to find two small packages in her mailbox that appeared to contain earrings. She said, "I opened them up and they were seeds. Obviously, they're not jewelry." So she posted this on her Facebook page. Now, that's where this gets interesting. Are there a bunch of people actually receiving unsolicited seeds from China that are dressed up like jewelry or clothing? Or did one person post this to Facebook and it spread over social media, and then all of a sudden you have agriculture department after agriculture department saying, "Hey, by the way, if you get seeds that were sent to you unsolicited, don't plant them because we don't know what might grow." Or I guess the fear here would be, I don't know, some kind of invasive weed. I don't know. What's the worst that could happen if you plant some seed? I have no idea. But
it's, I mean, do we have pictures of the seeds?
Let me see here. I haven't. Okay, yeah, there is one picture here, and actually posted by the Alabama Department of Agriculture, and they do have a couple packages here. One of those yellow, you know, packages that has the bubble wrap put on the inside of it, and it does look like there's some kind of. It looks almost like mulch in this picture. No, it doesn't. But I guess those are the seeds that they're talking about here. And, yeah, so really strange. I don't know how long it'll take to get to the bottom of this, but I don't know. You know more about the planting world than I do. If I get an unsolicited message.
I got to see some. Yeah, I'm not planting anything. I mean, if somebody just seeds just show up in my mailbox, I don't know that I'm
but, you
putting
know,
them in the ground.
Yeah, we've got some invasive grass and stuff that we wish
we got
never,
tons of invasives.
Yeah, never come to our shore. So maybe China's playing the long game here. They're going to get everyone to plant these seeds, and it'll just take over America. I will say the only seeds that I would plant,
like kudzu or kogan or any of those.
They're trying to grow out America. If Bill Finch sent me seeds unsolicited, I would plant those no problem. But when it comes with Chinese,
yeah, I would be down with that.
Yeah, with Chinese writing, I'm a little more skeptical of what I received in the mail there.
Yeah, so y'all, if you've gotten seeds unsolicited in the mail, go ahead and. Go ahead and send that. Which, by the way, I mean, just speaking of that, I got tomato plants still producing and ready for the second round, the fall tomatoes. And we got the gardens popping the last couple weeks with not so much sun and lots of rain has been good. Of course, I'm mowing my yard every 2 days, but other than that.
Well, listen, I've got the bacon, I've got the bread, and I've got the mayo. Now all I need are the vegetables. So you bring the tomatoes, and I'll find some lettuce, and BLT's on me.
All right, good deal. I'll bring them in tomorrow, so that'll work.
Perfect.
All right. So coming up Midday Mobile today, like I said, we'll talk to a representative from President Trump's campaign, a lot to talk about with her. And in addition, coming up, we'll take a look at some stories out of Montgomery and maybe have some officials out of Montgomery on the show. We'll leave it there for right now, and we'll land that plane coming up at noon today. Mike Gallagher on the way next.